Wrestling Redneck here with Blue Zone this evening. I'm flying solo while everybody's out trick-or-treating with their kids and doing all that kind of stuff. I got stuck watching SmackDown tonight, which, lucky for me, it was a great episode. I didn't, it was better than what Raw was last night, but let me go ahead and get into a few things I want to talk about before we get into Blue Zone. Everybody know who Jeff Goldblum is. He's probably one of the greater American actors. Jurassic Park, The Fly, there's just a few movies to name a few, and he's going to be on the new Thor Ragnarok movie that's coming out soon. And I just saw this really cool video on the internet today where he was talking to a guy. You know when they do those little interviews and kind of sitting in front of the movie posters and the different interviewers come in and interview him? A guy had a wrestling shirt on, and Goldblum totally just, I don't know if he was just no-selling the guy or he had no clue what like wrestling was. He just didn't get it. He was just kind of like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I don't quite get it. You just play, you know, how normally Jeff Goldblum plays a character in his movies. It's quite hilarious. I urge you to go out and find that. Let's go ahead and hop into the Blue Zone here.
Welcome to SmackDown Live.
So this is where the big boys play, huh?
This is my show. My show.
It is your boy, the prodigal one, JB, here.
Let's go ahead and get into this Blue Zone.
Fame Black on Snapchat doing this.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey, it's me.
It's Misery.
I am the elite. I am the greatest. I am the phenomenal.
Wrestling World Podcast Network.
All right, guys. Welcome to the Blue Zone. It is I, Wrestling Redneck, here, guiding you through this Halloween episode of SmackDown Live and the Blue Zone. I don't have any tricks or treats for you guys tonight. There's no scary things gonna happen here. Pop up. Nothing scary. We're not Raw. There's no viral meningitis that's gonna get you and turn you into a zombie, bring you back from the life from the dead. But tonight, you know, we opened up SmackDown with Shane coming out. Cut a promo on boasted on SmackDown and why they're going to be the ones winning Survivor Series, and then basically explaining why SmackDown got out there and attacked Raw the way they did, and basically just trying to say that they didn't get enough picks in the draft as Raw did. Just Raw is just so much better than them. I mean, clearly SmackDown is the redheaded stepchild in Vince's eyes, but you know, he cut a decent promo. I enjoyed it. My thoughts on how this is probably going to go. I have a feeling that Kurt Angle's team is going to win, especially now that it was tweeted out tonight that Braun Strowman is the first pick of Team Raw. I just feel like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to do something to screw this up for Shane somehow, some way, especially after the events of tonight, and really get back at Randy Orton too, because now they got two reasons why they should interrupt that match and screw over Shane McMahon and Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura. Now to, you know, there's three people there. The next up we had Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode for a spot on the Team SmackDown, and who is the better man, because it is a 2 out of 3 falls match. It's a pretty decent match today. You know, Ziggler takes the first fall pretty easily. Not pretty easily. He was getting his butt kicked and pretty much hit a super kick out of nowhere, which planted Bobby Roode on his ass. Ziggler picked up the first fall. Then they kind of went to commercial break. Sneaky, sneaky old WWE here. Did the picture-in-picture commercial break. Made you pay attention there as Bobby Roode picked up his first fall of the match. Kind of off a slingshot and Dolph Ziggler over there into the corner and then rolling him up. Getting his first fall. When they came back, they basically said, hey, hopefully you were paying attention because this happened. And, you know, that good old sneaky WWE kind of have a little trick up their sleeve on Halloween this evening. But then, you know, Roode just with a glorious DDT for the win. And, you know, he secured his spot on Team SmackDown. I'm actually really excited to see more Bobby Roode get involved here on Team SmackDown. Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shane McMahon, Nakamura later on in the show. It's going to be a good team there. And then we've got one more match next week to determine that last spot. But, you know, they got a tall task ahead of them, especially with Braun Strowman on the other side over there. Next, we go backstage. We have the New Day show up. At first, I thought it was Jimmy Hart, Brother Love, and Hakeem the Dream. But later on during the Big E match, his hat came off, and I realized it was Big E and not actually Hakeem the Dream. Hakeem the African Dream, sorry. Great costumes by those guys. Kofi, Xavier Woods, and Big E always getting in the festivities of things, dressing up. But backstage, Aiden English and Rusev step in to interrupt the show. Rusev saying that, you know, it's not Halloween today, it's Rusev Day. And, you know, as we all know, on Rusev Day, you dress up as Rusev and you go trick-or-treating for candy. But apparently everybody thinks that you're supposed to dress up as demons and goblins and sexy nurses and black cats and stuff like that and go out and get candy. No, you're supposed to dress up like Machka and go out and get your treats. There's vodka-filled chocolates out there. There's plenty of those that you're supposed to be giving out tonight over there in the Ukraine and all over the place on Rusev Day. So then basically, Rusev exclaims that Halloween's dumb and only the Rusev Day matters. I mean, I kind of agree. That's kind of why I'm sitting here with you guys tonight. You know, and he basically rips the candy out of Big E's hands and throws it down and steps all over it. And Big E kind of gets a little upset. And yes, Big E, he did take your candy and step all over it. So you get to take your frustration out on him later on tonight in that match that you guys are going to have. But next we get Becky trying to rally the troops backstage, trying to get everybody up and running for this match that the ladies of Team SmackDown are going to have, which... kind of funny because there's James Ellsworth on the leash dressed as a dog. He barks and they spray him with a spray bottle of water. Again, the BDSM angles that they got going on here, especially with all the pedophilia stuff coming out right now, it's kind of funny. But then Natty comes up out of nowhere, cuts a heel promo on who could be the weak link on Becky's Team SmackDown. Points out that Charlotte could probably be the one to crack under the pressure. You know, it's kind of funny that she won all those pay-per-view matches in a row, but yet she's the one that's going to be cracking under the pressure. And, she, you know, they kind of pan in on Charlotte. She looks a little worried, like she has it on her mind that she might actually crack. But we'll wait and see what goes on in that match. I'm actually kind of excited to see what's going to happen with those girls. Alicia Fox is trying to put together a decent team. She's got Nia Jax. Everybody thought Samoa Joe was going to be joining the ladies' team last night, but that didn't happen. So next we get Baron Corbin versus Sin Cara. Sin Cara's getting his rematch from last week. We got Corbin, you know, trying to rip the mask off of Sin Cara throughout the match, which is kind of funny to me. Is as you know, For the Love of Lucha, probably one of the greatest kayfabe podcasts out there on Lucha Underground. We've actually gotten to see a lot of WWE's taken from Lucha Underground and having like an ambulance match and a First Blood match. And tonight we got to see basically the same angle that Marty the Moth and Phoenix have had over there in Lucha Underground lately with Baron Corbin disrespecting Sin Cara and trying to pull the mask off of him. So I guess I'm just going to call Baron Corbin Marty the Moth from now on. I mean, he kind of has the hair. Look, Marty the Moth in a few years could possibly have the same hairline as Baron Corbin. It's going to take a little work. A lot of stress, worrying about Mariposa and stuff like that, but I digress. Later on during the match, again, WWE copying Lucha Underground, Sin Cara hits Baron Corbin with a Reaper's Trident onto the announce table. Not necessarily through the announce table, it was onto it. But yeah, there you go. Another throwback to Lucha Underground, Reaper's Trident there by Sin Cara. We got a Basically, Sin Cara just goes off on Baron Corbin outside of the ring, and Corbin Corbin has to run from his life. He jumps over the barricade, runs through the crowd. You know, for your U.S. champion to be trying to talk big junk like he did tonight on Twitter to The Miz, to be running through the audience trying to get away from Sin Cara like that, shows that you're kind of a pussy. And I think The Miz is gonna fucking beat your ass come Survivor Series. You're asking for it, Baron Corbin. So then we go backstage, and the Usos cut a little promo on the Shield and how they're gonna beat them up, and you know, they're gonna take them to the Uso Penitentiary, and you know, just all around just being. I love this iteration of the Usos. It's great. I like that. But then Gable and Shelton Benjamin come in from off screen, and they hit a freestyle that just steals the show and puts the Usos' whole promo to shame. These two guys, if they're getting great on the mic, they're in-ring chemistry. I'm really looking forward to see what Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable can do here in the WWE together. Next, we get the Singh brothers coming out to introduce Jinder Mahal. Basically, Sameer Singh is coming out to sacrifice himself like a lamb on the altar to Jinder Mahal by way of an AJ Styles beating. So as they come into the ring, you know, Jinder takes the mic and starts cutting a promo. Basically how he's going to kick Brock Lesnar's ass and how Lesnar's going to be afraid of him. And just AJ Styles got nothing on him. He's more worried about Brock Lesnar. And as he stops and decides to do the promo in Punjabi, AJ Styles interrupts said promo. Basically comes down to the ring. Beats the crap out of Sameer like we all pretty much thought he was going to do. This week, he beats the guy up and hits him with a Styles Clash. Last week, it was a submission move. Then out of nowhere, after AJ gets the pin, Jinder just attacks him viciously. Just beats the hell out of AJ just to send a message to Lesnar. But word on the streets, I think Ryan Satin reported this earlier this evening. Lesnar is still actually laughing from what Jinder Mahal said during his promo tonight. So that's be looking forward to. I think it's on maybe 2 hours now that Brock Lesnar has been laughing nonstop. I don't think they've been able to get him to stop laughing. So there's that. Be on the lookout for that. Ryan Satin's definitely reporting on that kind of stuff. Next we get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn backstage before we get Big E versus Rusev. And they're kind of talking to each other about the crap, you know, how Shane hates them and has his favorites, and he's just not going to be fair to them, and how tonight Owens has his chance to get on Team SmackDown, and they're going to make this the, well, as Sammy put it, the Kevin and Sammy show. But Kevin was quick to correct him and say that, no, it's the Sammy and Kevin show. So, you know, a little camaraderie. These guys are really starting to be good friends with each other. It's great. We all knew it was gonna happen here sooner or later, but you know, honestly, right here, the way they kind of ended this little segment, you know, I'd love to see at the end of all this stuff, Sammy actually be the one to be a heel, and Kevin kind of be the face at the end of all this. I think Sammy being a heel, that could just do wonders for his career, to get help more so get him over with the crowd finally once he becomes face again. It's not like he's not already over with the crowd, but maybe get him some more camera time, some more work. Him and Kevin Owens are just great together, and Sami Zayn by himself is great. And I think a heel Sami Zayn would just be, oh my God, that would be amazing. Next we get Big E versus Rusev. Aiden English starts singing the song that it is Rusev Day. When the New Day interrupts, Aiden English hits a perfect what? Like, just he's singing and the New Day comes out and just a perfect, just on cue, just what out of nowhere. Then during the match, it's a pretty back and forth match between Big E and Rusev, but during the match, Aiden English interrupts the match to sing that it's Rusev Day. When Woods comes to try to interrupt him blowing the trombone, we get English jumps off the announce table. He attacks Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. They kind of get the distraction on Big E. Then basically Rusev capitalizes on all the kind of craziness that's going on in and outside of the ring, especially with Aiden English climbing into the ring too to help with the distraction. And he picks up the win. But honestly, guys, it's funny, quite funny. I think Corey Graves was saying something about how Rusev Day is a day where you dress up and get candy and stuff like that. And Tom Phillips was like, that sounds just like Halloween. No, Tom Phillips, it's not. Rusev Day is completely different from Halloween. Okay, you get your facts straight. Next, we got Sin Cara backstage with Renee Young, kind of talking about how his mask was a representation of him and his family. And, you know, it's something that symbolizes his lucha, I guess, legacy and everything. But I guess that's something we've already seen before. Rey Mysterio's done it. And again, we saw it on Lucha Underground with Phoenix and Marty the Moth. I feel like I'm just watching this all over again with Sin Cara and Baron Corbin. But let's actually get to what I feel was the main event of tonight's show, and that was the Fashion Files Strangerer things. We open up with Fandango feeding Eleven some Egos under the table, and she takes them very fast. And as he kind of stands up, Tyler Breeze walks in dressed as Eleven. And Fandango's just kind of caught off guard, like, oh, wait, if you're here, then who's under the table? And then as they're kind of trying to figure it out, one of the members of the Ascension comes in, I can never tell the difference between the two, dressed as Barb, and they just kind of have a little back and forth there. Then next thing you know, Ty Dillinger comes out from under the table, dressed as Eleven, and when they ask, hey, wait, you're 11, he says, no, I'm a 10. Yeah, you see there? You know, I like how they kind of mix that up. Then the other member of the Ascension comes in as a bad guy, and they started to attack him, and he got quite upset that they jumped him because he had told his brother, his fellow Ascension member, that that was what his Halloween costume was. And clearly, these guys don't know how to work together, and that's probably why they're at the bottom of the tag team of the division doing Strangerer things and not actually being out there competing for titles. Shame on you guys. Y'all need to learn how to, y'all need some team building exercises. Y'all need to do like a couples retreat, do something like trust fall exercises, do like some cope, some like, I guess like rope courses and things like that, where you guys are going to have to work together as a team. Cause this whole not knowing what you guys got going on is just, that's why you guys, like I said, are at the bottom of your career, like bottom of the barrel right now in WWE booking. Next thing you know, the lights start flashing. Everything kind of gets crazy, you know, like it does in Strange Things. The Christmas lights around the Bludgeon Brothers picture kind of starts to flash, and the lights go out, and there's just a single light on the Bludgeon Brothers photo, and you hear everyone getting beaten up in the back, and the room getting tossed, and somebody sounds like they're getting mugged or Hillary Clinton suicided. Next thing you know, it kind of pans out, and there's a lone computer on the desk with a screen lit, and as you're watching, as they zoom in on this screen, a great value saw puppet, jigsaw puppet, kind of turns its head and basically saying, let the games begin. So I guess next week or whenever the next time they do one of these fashion files, we're going to get a saw-themed fashion file, which they must be off on when they're doing their fashion files, because you think they would have done the Stranger Things a week before and actually done the Saw one on Halloween. Then we get what is, of course, the main event, but not in my eyes. Owens versus Nakamura. Every time Nakamura's entrance music hits, I just can't get enough of it. I love seeing him come down and gyrate. I can't wait till he takes off and all these white preppy kids, or, you know, all these white wrestling fans out there just start dressing like Shinsuke Nakamura. It's going to be hilarious. I can't wait for it. Kids in bullet clubs and tight patent leather red pants. It freaking hilarious. Owens powders out early. Nakamura gives him the come on, and Owens basically rushes back in and gets beaten up by Nakamura as Nakamura's on top early. They both kind of go outside this time. where Nakamura's just kind of beating him up, and they go to break. We come back from break, and Nakamura's on top again until a super kick out of nowhere, which we saw that earlier in this evening, puts Nakamura on his back, and this time Owens gets to get on top for a little while. As Nakamura starts to take control again, Sami Zayn comes out of nowhere. Comes down the ramp. He doesn't come out of nowhere. He comes down the ramp, and Owens rolls Nakamura up on the distraction for two. They kind of go back and forth again. Then out of nowhere, Kevin Owens hits a huge maneuver off the top, planting Nakamura, trying to get the win here. Only gets the two. Owens goes for the pop-up powerbomb after this little segment, but gets reversed into a reversal. Then Owens reverses it again. Nakamura gets up quick with a knee, then sets up for the Kinshasa, but the good old Sami Zayn was there to pull Kevin Owens out like a best friend should. Keeps him from getting Kinshasa, keeps their hopes alive that there will be one of them on Team SmackDown since Zayn was eliminated last week. Frog splash by Owens gets two. Randy Orton comes out as Owens tells Sami to clear the announce table. But Orton comes from the crowd, which everyone thought he was going to come down from the ramp, and plants Sami Zayn through the announce table. Good stuff. Orton out of nowhere. On the distraction, Nakamura is able to roll Owens up. Just great stuff. Shinsuke going to be going to Survivor Series as Team Blue gets its fourth member. I am thoroughly excited for this. This is going to be great, which I also think that this is going to set up my reasonings for why Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to interrupt the match and ruin the chances of Team SmackDown to win Survivor Series. Just kind of signs kind of point that way. I don't think Kurt Angle is going to be losing his job anytime soon, especially since the fact that he's put Braun Strowman as his first pick. And they're all kind of probably setting up with the Stephanie stuff for Kurt Angle and Triple H at WrestleMania or some pay-per-view in the future, which it's probably going to be WrestleMania. That's just how they do these things. Triple H has to wrestle once a year to get it out of his system, especially when you take that much performance enhancers, allegedly. You got to get it all out of your system. So that once a year just kind of lets it all out, and then he builds up again for another WrestleMania. That was SmackDown for tonight. My overall thoughts on the show, it was a good show. Like I said, some of the booking that I got coming out of this, I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to ruin everything for Shane. Jinder is going to get creamed by Lesnar. There's just no way. Baron Corbin's probably going to get beat. But I think this whole under siege crap by Team SmackDown is basically just leading up to us all getting disappointed that Raw is probably going to win a majority of the matches during that pay-per-view, just because that's how it's probably going to be booked. That's just how I see it. For the Wrestling World Podcast Network, I am the Wrestling Redneck. You can find me at RASSLINREDNECK. Listen to For the Love of Lucha. It's over. There's not going to be any more. There might be. We might do a little like review episode, or maybe Dario pulls something out of his ass. Maybe he's not dead. Maybe Katrina and Mil Muertes, now that they have the gauntlet, they take over and start up the promotion again. Guys, give me some feedback. Hit me up on Twitter. I guess you know what. This is Wrestling Redneck, and you've been in the Blue Zone.